Hi, I'm Todd Cranin, here for Reason TV, and we're talking with the ACLU's Chris Calabrese about civil liberties issues that have been raised by new proposals for comprehensive immigration reform. So the ACLU is particularly concerned about the expansion of the E-Verify program. It's a government program that allows employers to instantly check the status of their workers. I was just wondering, what is the problem, in your view, with E-Verify?
Well, there's a couple of problems. I mean, first you have to sort of understand what E-Verify is. It's basically a giant list of everyone who's supposed to be authorized to work in the United States, which means a giant list of everyone in the United States legally. Well, that creates a couple of major issues. The first is, what happens if the list is messed up in some way? If you're wrong, if your information is wrong in the list? Well, that's going to prevent you from working, or at least mean that you have to go to the government and get your information fixed before you can work. E-Verify has become increasingly accurate. They're talking about 99% accuracy, which sounds great until you realize that there's 150 million American workers, which a 1% error rate means 1.5 million workers who have some kind of error that needs to be fixed. That's a huge problem. I mean, we really feel like the government shouldn't be standing between a worker and a new job.
All right. Well, unfortunately, a tentative non-confirmation was returned. It appears the information I entered doesn't match with the Social Security Administration's information. I've printed out your TNC notice.
I don't understand.
So if I can do basically a check about whether you're authorized to be in the United States, I can think of lots of other uses for that system besides employment, like voting or travel, renting a house. You can sort of see how an E-Verify system, a system that is essentially a giant cardless national ID system, could be, you know, I could have an E-Verify, or a police officer could have an E-Verify app on his phone and stop you on the street because you don't look right to him, hit the E-Verify app and say, you know, sir, I'm going to need your Social Security number and your name in order to make sure you're right in the E-Verify system. And imagine if the E-Verify system becomes this sort of de facto check. You have to be right with E-Verify in order to avoid being accosted by a police officer or potentially even taken down to the station.
But we already have to show Social Security cards,
right,
everywhere we go, right?
You know, in some ways, Social Security, of course, is a great example, right? It started at this not for identification purposes at all. It said that on the original Social Security card, that it wasn't to be used for identification. Well, here we have it, you know, 70 years later. It's used constantly for identification. It's used for all sorts of things. I think the difference is that people ask you for your Social Security card because they want to use it as an identifier. And if you don't have it, sometimes you'll get sort of a hard time. Oftentimes merchants or other people will sort of say, oh, fine, and because they want to sell you the service or the good. But if there's an outside, quote unquote, objective source, like a database that's saying, oh, you're not, you know, we don't have you in the database, then that's different. That gives the officer or the person who's making a decision about you, the employer, a reason to say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't give you this job. We can't, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take you down to the station for further questioning. So, and that's exactly what we're going to see. I mean, if E-Verify becomes mandatory, the result will be that you will essentially have to get cleared with a government right to work list before you can start a job. And that's a huge change.
Should the government be in the business of requiring businesses to verify its workers in the first place? Is that the root of the problem ultimately?
You know, and that's a great question. I mean, why would we say that businesses should be enforcing immigration law? I mean, if you stop and just think about it in that context, it's very strange. I mean, we don't ask employers to go out and, you know, enforce the drug laws. You know, employers are not police officers, except in this one context where we suddenly want them to be law enforcement agents who are, you know, who are going to essentially police their workforces.
You've referenced Bill Keller's arguments in the New York Times, which I thought were really interesting. But one of the points he makes, which I have to concede has some truth to it, at least for me, is that, you know, we live in a new era of like Facebook and social networking. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, you know, people have a different attitude towards privacy in the 21st century than they did certainly when I was growing up. I'm wondering, does that lend any credence to the idea of a national ID like that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that you're absolutely right. People do have a different idea of privacy now than they might have 20 or 30 years ago. You know, privacy used to maybe mean secrecy. Nobody knows about it. But privacy today is still very relevant. It's just slightly different. What for most people today, privacy is really about control. It's really about deciding who sees my information, what's done with it. I may be posting it on Facebook, but I have my control set so that only my friends are seeing this information. I have an expectation that I'm sharing it with particular people. Well, a national ID really just changes that. It turns it on its head. Now the control is with the government. They decide what's going to happen with your information, what they're going to do with it, and make decisions about your life based on their information. That's really the polar opposite of me deciding what I'm going to tweet out or what I'm going to share on Facebook.
So what do you propose as a better solution, a better reform that would allow workers and employers to get together without having to have all of these issues of verification and enforcement?
You know, the first thing I think we need to recognize is there's 11 million people in this country who are workers. They work hard. They may not be documented. They may not be legal workers, but they're contributing to the American workforce. They're paying taxes. And if we say, if we legalize those people, as many Congress have suggested is appropriate, and the ACLU agrees, that deals with a lot of the problem, right? Then we're not trying to weed out, because all those workers are legal. And then what we need to do is make a concerted effort to enforce the existing laws we have for employment. There will be no incentive to hire an undocumented worker if you still have to pay wage and hour laws, if you still have to provide those individuals with appropriate benefits. In other words, a lot of the lure of illegal immigration comes because it allows employers to skirt existing labor laws. So if we stop that, I think we stop a lot of the real problem.
Well, thank you very much on that.
Sure.
That's ACLU's Chris Calabrese. I'm Todd Cranin for Reason TV. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Good to talk to you.
Pleasure.